Galatians chapter number 3. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Thank God for you being here tonight. As we look in Galatians chapter 3, while you turn it in your Bible, the theme of this chapter has been the content of the gospel. The key verse was verse 6, where it said, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." It was accounted to him for righteousness. And how do you get righteousness? It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 29 verses, 648 words, all inspired by God and preserved forever in our King James Bible. This particular chapter, a 3.6 grade level chapter, we saw in the first 9 verses, we saw him interrogating the Galatians. And then this verse 10 all the way down to verse 29, he's instructing them on some things. And now we pick up in verse 19, and the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." As we look in the Word of God tonight, I want to remind you that God has given us a complete Bible. And one part is not good without the other part. We've got to have both of them to understand the whole thing. And tonight I want to preach to you on what he's dealing with here in verses 19 through 29 on why God gave the law. Why God gave the law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you and we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll just open up your word to us tonight. God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I pray, God, that you'd move and do a work amongst us tonight, Lord God, and help us. I pray, God, you'd open up our minds to the Scripture, Lord. I pray Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And I pray, God, that you'll move and just help us tonight. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight in this part of Galatians chapter 3, we find out that the law does have its use. When we see in Old West movies, you see the sheriff come into town, the old sheriff got shot, and the new sheriff gets sent into town. He says this, "There's a new sheriff in town." He didn't come in to bring new law with him. He came to enforce the law that's already on the books. Yeah. But that's not the law this is talking about. What we do see is Paul bringing up the Mosaic law, the law that was given to the Jewish people. And what he points out about it is about the uses of the law. If you'll notice down in verse number 19 in Galatians chapter 3, we see the purpose of the law. There's a reason why God did this. It wasn't just because he wanted to give you all the thou shalt not so he could tell you, "I caught you doing that and you didn't. Listen, you didn't do number 241. I'm going to have to punish you for it." That's not why this law is given. Here's why it was given. He said in verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions." Who transgressed? All of humanity before the law was given. He said it's because of transgressions till the seed should come. Now I underline that in my Bible for a reason. That thing right there, the seed he's talking about is Jesus Christ. And he says there, "to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now look at this thing here. The law, the purpose of the law is it serves until the seed comes. The law laws there in place to show God's people, that Jew, that he could not work his way to heaven by being good no matter how hard they tried. And a lot of people are so swept up by the Ten Commandments, they'll even make statements and they'll cafeteriaize one of the commandments. I say, well, I keep the Sabbath. You no more keep the Sabbath than I do.
Amen.
So our church is the right church. We worship on Saturday. You do no such thing. Well, we don't eat pork. We're right with God. The Bible says don't eat pork. No, under the law it says not to have more than pork. There's more to it than pork. And we're talking about Jews that the law was given to. And there's a lot of things under the law that was given there that there's things over and over and over repeated on things that you should not do. And the reason being is because this law is designed to show that you are a sinner. It's not designed so you can walk by and say, you know what? I'm a Bible believer. I live the whole Bible. You do none of the such. And that Jew, when he only had 5 books of the Bible there to himself, he couldn't walk out and say, well, I keep my Bible. He couldn't keep them 5 books.
Right.
Something would catch him. And the thing about the law is not forgiving. The law, either you do it or you do it not. There is no, I'll just ask for forgiveness. There is none of that with the law. The law is given to show transgression, not to have forgiveness with. There has to be a sacrifice to shed blood for the forgiveness. And in the person of the seed that was to come, the law was given until the seed comes to show all people were under sin and everyone deserved to die and everyone deserved hell. A lot of folks, they'll look at that the Bible and they'll say, well, I'm not as bad as such and such. That isn't how the law reads. Well, I'm not as bad a sinner as this one over here, and I'm not as bad as this one over here, and that one over there. That's not, the law is not concerned with comparisons. The law is concerned with thou shalt or thou shalt not. It's not concerned in making friends and making enemies. It's bland and it's blind. It just says right or wrong. But the purpose of the law was till the seed should come and point everyone that is under the law towards the seed, which is Christ. If you take your Bible and look over Matthew chapter 5. See, there's an interesting thing about the law a lot of folks don't want to understand here, and that's the fact of this. There's only been one to ever keep the law. Just one. Not 10 or 15 or a good one over here and a bad one over there. No, it's only one. And his name is Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 5, if you look down at verse number 17, the Bible says this: think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Christ fulfilled the law. And as he fulfilled the law, he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He was in the synagogue every Saturday, never put anything in his mouth that the Bible condemned or said that the Jew couldn't have. Him being a Jew, he kept the law to all points of the law and was yet without sin. The seed had come. The seed of Genesis chapter 3 had come. And when he showed up and he did everything and kept everything about the law. There was not one time he wore a mixed garment or anything like that. He kept the law. And he's the only one that could. All the rest of us serve with a disadvantage. Once you're born with a mother and father, you're already on a downward spiral. You're born under the curse of Adam, under a man. I notice that when we look at the Word of God and we see how the Bible teaches that being that Adamic nature, A-D-A-M-I-C, Adamic nature there, how that when it comes about, we're born that way. He didn't have that. He wasn't born of Adam. That's why he was born of a virgin, so he would not have that with him. He would be born without sin, live without sin, and die without sin. He had to become sin. They had to put sin on him for us because he didn't have any when he died. I see the law's purpose is it serves until the seed comes. And the seed came and he kept and fulfilled the law. If you look back over Galatians chapter 3 over there, Galatians chapter 3, we find this out. He says in verse number 21 down to verse number 23, not only is it serves till the seed comes and points us towards the Lamb of God that which we needed to take away the sin that we have, it also shows us sin plain as day. He says in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, watch this. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Well, you could have kept the Sabbath and been righteous, but now you can't. He says in verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. He said that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. The law shows sin. I've had more than one person ask me questions over the years about different things, and I try to explain to them exactly what the Bible says about certain things. And even when you get into the more detailed matters of the law, it gives those things not to show whether you can or cannot do them, but to show whether or not that you either did it or did not do it, and it shows that thing is sin. When people come up and they say, well, listen, I think that we need to go back to the Garden of Eden, too late. Well, I think we need to go back to the Mosaic Law, too late. Listen, Eden was there, man failed. The law was given, man failed. We need to go back to the seed, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep looking towards Him because we can't keep this law. It just shows us as sinners. Do you know why people shy away from the Bible and don't like it? It's because it reads back. And that book starts reading you back, and all of a sudden you see that you're not as good a person as you made yourself out to be and as you told others. All of a sudden this book shows that that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we get to reading it every day, we find out it shows us in particular which things we're lacking, in particular which things we did or did not do. And it shows us sin, and it shows it to us by the letter. I know that some of you have this idea that when you see a sign on the side of the road, it don't pertain to you. Well, if it says 55, it means 75. If it says 35, it means 45. If it says yield, that means step on it, buddy. If it's a yellow light, it means really step on it and go down a gear too. But if we were to compare that law to this law, which is what happens with a lot of people, when you catch them breaking the law, here's the excuse. 100%. 100 out of 100 people surveyed, I didn't see the sign. Now, whether you lied about that or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what them police say. They said they all claim they didn't see it or didn't know it. Let me tell you something. The law never gives a provision for ignorance. Never. It never says, well, you can drive 100 miles in a 55 as long as you don't see the sign. That's nowhere in the books.
Yep.
It's not there. It never says you can rob a store as long as you didn't know that you wasn't supposed to do that. It never says you can take that piece of candy and stick it in your pocket because they got plenty and they'll never miss one. What have we got? A bunch of candy thieves up in here? A couple of haters? Look here. What I want to know is this. Does the law point out sin? Oh, you better believe it. I say over and over, is the law against the promises of God? No, they're not against the promises of God. Because the promises of God referred about the two towards this Jew over here came before the law. Abraham was kind of before the law, remember? And the law didn't go against the promises. But the law showed up till the seed could come and die for our sins. And it also showed up to show us in sin. Because again, we think we're not so bad a people. I mean, after all, we've always got somebody in mind that the devil will keep in our minds that we don't think we're as bad as they are, and they're a whole lot worse than we are, and so forth like that. And if you can't think about it, the devil will help you out with somebody. But listen to this. The law didn't come by comparison. It came to show you were under sin, and that you had sinned, that you had violated His law. See, that's the plan of the law. The whole purpose of the law is to show you that you are under sin and you need Jesus. Why do you think it gives all them sacrifices over there? Grain offering, meal offering, all that. A lamb unspotted and so forth like that. It's because the law's been violated. It's not because God desires to see animals killed. You ever heard them people that's against eating animals? They say, well, that's a bloody God. And you are intolerant. Yeah, you know the crowd says, we're intolerant. They're very intolerant.
Yeah.
If you don't share the same views with them, you might as well have ripped their mustache off their face because they're ready to fight over it.
Right.
Some of the most intolerant people in the world are the intolerant people. But listen to this. The Bible don't stop there and say they're the bad guys. They say y'all are the bad guys, all of us. The law doesn't say if you don't eat meat, you're a sinner. It says everybody that eats is a sinner. And people will come along and say, well, that's a bloody religion. It's not a bloody religion because the blood's already been shed. Mm-hmm. It's already been applied. We don't have to keep doing it.
Right.
And I noticed that not only we see the purpose of the law, it comes to show us sin, but we see also another use of the law, and that's the plan of the law. Why would God give something that ultimately, at the end of the day, would just show you up to be bad? There's got to be an end game to it. See, because unlike most human beings, God has a plan and a goal at something when He lays something out for us. It's like when we go to looking at serving the Lord, there's a purpose for it. The purpose is we do it because we love Him, but the plan is on the backside of the thing that we're going to do what He says because we love Him. When we look towards the law, the purpose of the law is to show sin, and the plan of the law, if you look in verse 24, says this. This is what it does. There's actually a plan that God has for this thing. It says, wherefore the law, it says, was our what? Was our schoolmaster. To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. A lot of you grew up like I did, and maybe you grew up with it in reruns, but you've heard of Little House on the Prairie. And we get poor little Miss Beasley or whoever it was a teacher. What was her name? The blonde-headed lady. She was the only school teacher they had in town. Anyway, I said Miss Beasley. That's off another show. But anyway, it's off Buffy and Jody, wasn't it? But anyway. They had that poor old school teacher out there, and she was the judge, jury, executioner, principal, janitor, everything for that schoolhouse. But in reality, back in those times, there wasn't too many women that taught. It was mostly men. And these men were raised, unlike the men that protest the elections now, these men were raised on a farm where if you ate, you helped make it. If you had meat on the table, you helped dress it. If you had any crops in the field, you help plow the roads type thing. So you take a man out there, and he goes through school, and he sits under a schoolmaster. The schoolmaster sees, well, you got potential, boy. You can read and write. We're gonna try to get you to the next level of your learning. Maybe you could teach some of these kids. And they would get him and take him and incorporate him into something, get him some kind of scholarship, send him off to school. And when he got to college, back then, there was no safe areas and safe places where no harmful words could be spoken.
Yeah. Right.
Boy, now the dumbest thing you ever heard from an adult in your life. 1944, the 18-year-olds were going through out of fear of war in Europe, getting their freedom. Now they're sitting around talking about, I need a safe place. Certain words hurt my feelings. Yeah. Bless your heart. You've come a long way, baby. You've come a long way. But that schoolmaster, he'd go off to college, and they'd teach him how to teach others the basic principles of the three R's. Some of you have never even heard of the three R's, bless your heart. Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Amen.
I'm just telling you how they used to do it. And when they got out there, when they would assign that man a place to go teach, he'd go, and usually wherever they had the church is where he'd go in and have school all week long. And he'd have his blackboard up there, and he'd write up there, and they'd have their slate and their pail with a fish and two loaves in it or whatever they carried to lunch. And he was their schoolmaster. When they done wrong and didn't do what the school required, listen to this. That schoolmaster didn't say, all right, everybody, it's timeout time. No, he had a razor that he shaved his face with and a big old leather strop that he kept the razor good and sharp with. And he would take those kids out there and whip them with it. Now, they didn't go home crying to Mama talking about, Mama called the law DSS. He whooped me. If you had the guts to tell your mom and daddy, you'd get another one when you got home.
Yep.
And we're talking about 1800s, 1700s. These people didn't play around with all this safe space, timeout, and all this business. And also, they didn't abuse the children as well. Let me add that there to that thing. They whipped them, but they didn't kill them. And they'd bring them back in there, and the kid would learn to mind like that. But the problem is, the children could not remember every detail of everything they're supposed to do, But yet, the schoolmaster would, and he'd constantly bring them in line. Finally, after a while, you know what they'd realize? I have to do what I'm told. And then instead of walking to school every day, dreading to go to school every day, they enjoyed it because they realized, I do what I'm told, schoolmaster's happy, everybody goes home happy. They ask me what I did at school today. I can tell them I did this and did this instead of leaving out parts that I don't want nobody to find out. Some of y'all look guilty of sin. You need to go listen. You need to get in touch with God. Tell them to call your grandparents and parents in heaven. Tell them y'all did do. They already know, by the way. You've kept it hid for quite a long time. The guilt runs deep here, Miss Willow. The guilt runs deep. I can feel it. You can feel it. It's all, the tension is great with all this stuff. But listen to me very carefully. This schoolmaster of the law is not forgiving. The schoolmaster in old Western Front days was, but this one's not. And this schoolmaster came with one object. Just one. It says there in that verse, that schoolmaster was come to bring us to Christ. When God had Moses come up that mountain, they had demanded to have a law they could live by so they'd know what to do and what not to do. They get up on top of that mountain and God tells Moses, give them this law, but they will never keep it. It served only as a schoolmaster to get them from childhood to adulthood when they became grown up, mature. In the Roman era days that Paul wrote in, the schoolmaster was somebody that took adopted children and trained them to become behaved children. He brought them to the Father. And once the schoolmaster got them to where they could come to the Father, then the Father took care of them. They was no longer under schoolmaster. What the law does, the law serves and teaches us, its plan is to keep convicting you and showing you you're under sin so it can bring you to Jesus Christ where you'll ask for forgiveness and ask Him to save you and ask for forgiveness of those sins. Isn't that something? We thought this whole time if we'd put them on the courthouse and straighten America out, it don't straighten out America. We get worse. Yeah. We reject that thing. Our flesh says we can't do it, ain't going to do it. Yeah. Our flesh is like that little boy in the car seat. You might have shoved me down and strapped me in, but I'm still standing up inside. You know how that works. I see that the plan of the law was to teach us that we needed a redeemer, that we could not keep the law. And it basically whips us into submission and shows us we cannot do this thing of ourselves. Notice this. We see what the law can do, but there are three things the law cannot do. Number one, it cannot convert people. The Bible says in verse 26 and 27, for ye are children of God, watch this, by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That didn't come with the law doing it. The law convicts, but it's Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that converts people. When somebody comes along and says, well, now you know, preacher, I'm not a big Christian or a big saint or nothing like that. I'm a sinner, but I believe in Jesus Christ. Those are very noble words, but I want to point something out to you. We're not good Christians or bad Christians by whether or not we keep the law, because the law didn't convert us. The law doesn't bring you to righteousness. The law brings you to sin and shows you you've sinned. And the law does not convert people. If it did, if all we had to do is get them to read the Bible, then we could eventually put up billboards to catch people's attention with a Bible verse on it, and they'd read it and they'd be saved because they believed. But the law is not there to convert. The law is there to convict. It's the Holy Spirit that's there to convict sinners and convert them. We get this thing messed up. We think if we could just get them to read the Bible, they're saved. If we can get them just to believe that there was a Jesus Christ, they're saved. That's not how it works. The way it works is we preach the law to people so they'll come under conviction. And while that conviction is there, the Holy Spirit of God deals with them on a personal level and says it's your sin, it's your transgression, it's your wrongdoing, and He brings you to Christ that you may be converted. It's not done of the flesh. It's not done of the law. It's done of the Spirit's power. See, we've got a new brand of Christianity that works like this. You ask Jesus to save you and then live like you want to the rest of your life and everybody's okay. And if somebody ever asked you, are you saved? You say, I am baptized. And once you say that, they're supposed to leave you alone. That's how we do it here. If you don't believe that, go in any church in America. That's about how they run. But the Word of God's different. The Word of God says it takes the Scripture to bring about the conviction, and it takes the Savior to show you, to bring about that forgiveness, and it takes the Spirit of God dealing with somebody's heart before they'll ever get saved. You ever wondered why when you see a drunk get sober and it looks like the circumstances of his life's been thrown upside down and now he's trapped somewhere in his own in some way where he can't do nothing, where he can't get to his bottle, and all of a sudden you hear about that guy getting saved? You know what God did? Orchestrated the whole thing so he could deal with that man while he's sober. You ever seen sometimes how these guys would get out here, and I've seen them in prison do this. They're full of dope and full of all that hell raising and things they'll do, and they'll go out there, they'll rather fight than breathe. But all of a sudden they get in prison, and they take them down there to the place where they process them, and the first thing they do is give them a good haircut, just like the one I got right now. And it's not optional. They'll take them, set them down in there, and say, listen, the beard, the hair, all of it's coming off, everything but your eyebrows. Well, not me, man. Yeah, you're next. Sit down there. And you'll either take it sitting there, or you'll take it strapped in, but you're going to take it. And when they get through, they take your picture, and they all look like this. You know why? They've been sprayed, dipped, wormed, and shaved all at the same time. You know what that does? That humiliates somebody. It strips away their individuality. And then to top that off, while they're good and depressed, they stick them in a hole by themselves. You walk in there, you got a bed on one side and a toilet and a sink on the other, and it's the same thing. Don't do no wrong, but you're going to get caught, or you'll be in the same place. You walk in there, they slam the door behind you, and there you are. Well, I'll just be here, they're going to ship me out to such and such, maybe in 3 weeks. You know, beds ain't easy to come by in prison no more. We've got to find a place for you. Well, they're going to put me near mama where she can come visit me and bring me money. Maybe, maybe not. You might be 8 hours away. Who knows? But once they get you in there, they're not going to put you where you want you. They're going to put you where they got a place for you, and they're going to stick you there. And by the time you get to the yard or wherever you're going, you know what you've already done and you don't even realize it? You've already changed. You are learning how to take orders. You're learning how to respond with yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, captain, and no, captain, or whatever their title is, or boss, whatever it may be. And you've already learned somehow that your humility has been brought upon you, has been forced upon you. So does the law. It can do all of that, but it cannot convert you to where when it lets you go, you'll do right. But notice this, it cannot convert people, the law can't. If you'll notice number two, it cannot connect people. You ever hear these people talking about, well, we just need to connect with such and such, and we need to get a connection with such and such, and connect this, and connect that, and reconnect. Now, are you a wiring diagram, or are you a human being? But either way you want to look at them words, listen to this. He says in verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Get that. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus, not under the law. The law doesn't connect people. Here's the good thing about it. Everybody's so worried about who can do what and all this other stuff. And look, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Once you get saved, you do away with all that. See, that's why when somebody gets saved, I don't start them a Jewish Christian church, if there was a Jew. I don't start them a Spanish Christian church because they used to be from Mexico. I don't start them a Polish Christian church because they used to be from Poland. We just Christians. Can I say that again? Mm-hmm. We just Christians. We get saved, we're in Christ Jesus. God does away, watch this thing, with the only two races He identifies, Jew and Gentile. That's what that Greek is, Jew and Gentile. That's the only ones God acknowledges. So what about this race of people? They're either Jew or one of them other ones under the title of Gentile. God picked him one, remember? That's the Jew. The rest of you is all just together. All just lumped in together in one word, Gentile. And the law can't connect the Jew and the Gentile together. We're to be good to the Jew. I'm well aware of the principles, but here's the thing. You cannot connect with them under the law, and here's why. While you grew up in America, and you might have grown up in Sunday school, and you may know about Noah's Ark, you don't know them first five books of the Bible like they got it drilled into them. They were raised different than we are. When you turned 18, you was trying to figure out whether to go to the college, military, or work. When they turned 18, they sent them to the military for a mandatory 2 years. No wonder they act different over there when we go over there and visit them people, ain't it? No wonder their society is a whole lot different than what we got. Listen to this. He says that you cannot connect people with the law because the law is not the means by which people are connected. Christ Jesus is. He said there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Get that one. You get saved, your identity's gone. You're now in Christ Jesus. When you get to heaven, there's neither marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. Why? God does away with that thing. We become, listen to this, we become His. We're His servants. I like the fact that He says that thing. He says, you're all one in Christ Jesus. I'm glad of that, and here's why. Have you ever went to work in a place where they had seniority at the place where you work? Does anybody have a place like that where you work at? They like, if you have seniority, then if you want certain jobs, you can go fill out for them because you have more seniority than this other guy, you can get that job. Has nothing to do with whether or not you could do the job. Do you have seniority? If you do, you can get the job. In Christ Jesus, there is no seniority. You know what there is in Him? We're all one. I like that part for this reason. I have been ridiculed by people who's come along and told me that, you know, while you was out being a hellion and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and living the life of a lost man, I was in church. Well, bless your heart. I'm glad you never saw the hell I saw growing up. I'm glad that some of you never grew up in a divorced home. I'm glad you grew up in a place where everything was fine, rosy, and peachy, and they took you to church 3 times a week, whether you wanted to go or not. I'm glad you had such a wonderful life. But thank God when I got in, there was no seniority plan in Christianity. We're just all saved. God has no favorites. God doesn't look at time served. God just says you're all one in Christ Jesus. I've had people tell me before that they couldn't see the need to get saved because they were never a drunkard or a dope addict, or they never cheated on their wife, or they never broke the speed limit, or whatever they tried to say. But listen to this. Once we get past all that, the same blood that went for the crackhead went for the college guy too. The same blood that went for the so-called righteous was there for the unrighteous too. Same blood, same sins. And I see that when it comes along, the law cannot connect people. It's Christ Jesus that connects people. I've met people over the years that are not of, how would we say, not of our upbringing. They ain't like us. They were people that were far above our means. You talk about buying, this week I might go out and buy me a magazine. They may buy the magazine company. The guy that prints it, they're going to buy the whole thing. People like that. I ran into people like that. I had a guy come hear me preach one time. I was out of state preaching. This guy come heard me preach. He could buy and sell us 10 times over. You know what he said? He said, I'm glad God makes us all equals. He said, I love being around God's people. I said, what about the crowd you hang around with? And I didn't know who he was talking about. He said something like that guy said in Star Wars. It's the most treacherous group of slime and villainy and, you know, all that type of stuff. I said, man, I never realized all them do-gooding people like that was so corrupt. And then I went to Arkansas and met people that know the Clintons. Mm-hmm. True story. And by the way, if he had to get elected governor of Arkansas again, I don't even think they'd let him on the ballot. Just from what I learned from the locals out there. Amen, friend. You ain't got to worry. She ain't going to be president.
Amen.
You can shout.
Amen.
But look at this thing. The law can't connect people. It's Christ that connects people. I've met people from other sides of the world, and I don't mean that guy on Facebook that says he's going to send you $1 million. Not that guy. I'm talking missionaries that God saved. And they'll go to some foreign country and win somebody Christ. And they've wrote letters back here to this church where they get our preaching stuff and say, you know what? Thank God you're saved. Thank God I'm saved. I'm glad our missionary came over here. I'm glad he came with the word of the gospel, because all I was doing was throwing my life away in booze. And then Jesus sent this man. I have no idea how them people live. But listen, I couldn't connect with them of the law, but I can in Christ Jesus. I understand there's one other thing the law cannot do, is it cannot change people. Look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There are two types of people in this world that have never understood what that statement means right there. He said, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. There's a physical line of people that was born of Abraham. They're still around. They still have the promises of Genesis 12, and they're still being fulfilled to this day. And then there's those of us who get saved, and we become the spiritual seed of Abraham, because through Abraham came Isaac, Jacob, all the way down, and then this guy named Jesus was born. It was God manifest in flesh. You've heard of him. And because he was born through that line, now we're the spiritual seed of him, not the physical seed. So how do you know we're not the physical seed? I can tell how broke we are. That's how I can tell. Yeah. I drop you off in the middle of the desert, come back, and we'll find bones. Drop a Jew off in the middle of the desert, come back, there's going to be Las Vegas sitting there, and all that money's being made. It's just a natural thing. Can't explain it, just seen it happen over and over. All based on this. God still blesses that Jew. But the law cannot change the fact of who that Jew is. They're always going to be Jew. And here's a sad fact. You're always going to be a Gentile. A saved Gentile? You can be a saved Gentile? Yes. But then here's the thing. Once you get saved, the law doesn't change who that Jew was. And the law doesn't change who that Gentile was. We're just placed in Christ Jesus. He's the one does the changing. And he never changes the outward part until he changes the inward part first. I don't care if you dress like Queen Elizabeth. He never changes the outside until he gets a hold of the inside. Ain't you glad today that he came by your way and he didn't come along and say, well, you're not a Jew, I can't fool with you.
Amen.
None of us in this room could. We couldn't even budge a complaint against that, because we're not Jews. He could have said, you're not my chosen race. I pick one out and you're not it. Can't change you. But I'm glad the offer was open to the world, that he died for the sins of the world, and the law showed the sins of the world, which I happen to live on. And it showed that thing, and we come to him, and the law didn't change us. But thank God Jesus does. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.